Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey everyone, Pastor David here with Pastor Liz Jones.
Hi.
And Pastor Bob Wilk.
Hello there.
And they have great authority over me. So I will be asking them the questions today.
Yes.
And they will answer them. And hopefully this will be just a help to everybody to understand this topic. So not everybody likes the sound of authority, but it's actually a great thing. So what is authority? Let me just start with a little softball question here.
Don't ask me that question.
Hardball question. What is authority,
Pastor? Don't ask me that question.
What is authority?
Don't ask me that question. That's what authority is.
I obeyed you. Pastor Liz, what is authority?
Godly authority?
And you can speak to whatever you
ungodly want authority.
We ungodly like
authority. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She's a pro at that one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, God has an interesting view on authority because when he gives authority, which is the right to exercise power, he also includes with it everything that you'll need to be able to do that. So if you look at the meaning of the words authority, it includes, he gives you grace for it. He gives you competency. He gives you provision. He gives you everything that's needed to exercise his authority, which is the establishing of his power.
Nice.
I would say it that way.
Great.
That's good.
Do you want to add anything to that?
I agree with her. I think it's going to stop with you. You know, the buck stopping there. Mm-hmm. And you have to take responsibility for the authority you have.
But what about if someone gave you that authority? Isn't it really their fault what you did?
Sure. I actually believe someone has to give you the authority, but that's a whole different thing.
They have to authorize you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good.
Which is really a problem in our, you know, in life, because nobody wants to think that they're under somebody else's issuance of authority.
Why do you think that is?
Because then you feel like you're, subservient.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So people don't want that. They want to be, like the Bible says, every man did was right in his own eyes. They want to be able to, they want to call the shots. They want to be the person in charge. And not even when it comes to authority. They don't want somebody else telling them, okay, I'm giving you this authority and this scope, people go crazy over that. They want to be their own authority.
They want to be the author.
Oh, and the finisher.
Yes, the author and finisher of their authority.
But if everyone's the leader, who's the leader?
Well, I know who the leader is here, but
that's good. Hey, how about this question? Why are there different spheres of authority? There's the civil authority, like the government and the police. There's the church that has an authority structure. There's the home, where obviously the man is in charge. I'm just kidding, but it could be the parent, it could be whatever.
We just lost a bunch of people.
I just threw that out there. Okay, but why are there these different spheres of authority? What do you think?
Why are there different spheres?
Why would God do that? If he made this whole world, right? That's what I've been operating under that belief system. Okay.
So
if God,
let's go back to the start.
Let's talk about where this all started.
As disciples, we believe that God, instituted authority.
How we got here.
I'll give a Bible verse. Romans 13 says, 13:1 says, all authority is from God.
Yes.
Okay. So why did he put into place these different branches of authority, you think?
That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. I think the design of God is for his authority to be expressed through different people, not always one, not one person, and not one person in every venue.
Yeah.
I think that there's, I think it's the wisdom of God that he assigns authority in different places, in different, parameters to different people who are, for different reasons, let's just say. It's the wisdom of God. I would say it that way.
Absolutely.
I think that he assigns authority to different people because he's working on humility in every single person, and he's working on submission in them. And if you have authority of a specific area, what comes with that is the fact that you then have to submit, and you need to have humility to know that you're not the end all of everything. Mm. And that's God's always working there, and I think when we are made perfect, that will change, that he'll give us authority. We'll be so close to the the full authority of Jesus Christ, so much like him in his image, like man was in the beginning, that gave him authority over the earth, yeah. Everything.
I mean, I think, you know, you see that Jesus, he's like, mm-hmm. I'm under authority. He was so mm-hmm. one with God that he operated as if he was God, because he was. But, you know, he operated with as a direct extension of God. And so, you know, Paul says eventually God will be all in all, right? In 1 Corinthians 15.
That's right.
I think that's right on. You know, I think eventually we will be able
to. But I don't want anyone to lose sight of the fact that I believe with authority comes what God it may issue, or somebody may issue authority to you, but God's using that to form new levels of humility in you.
Wow.
Actually. Yeah. And so if you try to separate authority from humility, you get weird stuff. you get somebody's this, like,
kind of get the world's view of authority.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Got a bunch of little Hitlers running around. Oh,
my God. Well, that was soup Nazis Jesus. Everywhere. Oh, my God.
No soup for you.
And that was Jesus' whole thing with his disciples. Like, yeah. The world, they lord over people, and it will not be that way with you. He's mm-hmm. like, that is not how you are going to operate in authority. Don't try to copy them.
Right. Yeah. And that is, like I said, there's such we're here, we're talking about authority, but I'd hate anyone to lose sight of what God does through authority.
Yeah.
He humbles the person, like Jesus coming to the earth. He was made a little lower than the angels. He humbled himself to come here. That was the work that was being done in him and through him as a man for us to see.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should work, or else we will just operate way weird, like strange, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my questions, is how does Jesus view authority differently than our culture, you know, than our world does? And I love what you said, that, you know, I think about where it says he didn't count equality with God as mm-hmm. something to be grasped, held onto, but mm-hmm. he emptied himself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And took the form of a servant. Mm-hmm. And I always speak this to, like, guys who are married and they want to be that head of the house, you know, that I joked about before, and everyone's got to listen to me and all this. And that could apply to a pastor in the church or a teacher in a school or whoever has authority. You're not given authority to grasp it. It's for you to lay it down to empower someone else. You know, Jesus took his authority and empowered his bride, and he didn't grasp it, right? And so, you know, I love how you referenced that we're not lording over people, but you guys want to throw out anything else on this, of like Jesus's view versus our culture's view of authority? Anything you guys?
Well, I like when you brought up this, that one component of the scriptures where, you know, it's talking about the husband being Lord, if you will, of the wife.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, it's right there, you know, right smack, right in it, God's like, and Jesus is the head of you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's putting everything kind of in order. So you know, how would you like him to relate to you? Mm-hmm. You know, would you like, and then you should be emulating that to your wife. So even in those things, I know there's, you know, people that think that way, you know, I'm the boss of the house, and everybody, you know, and I always tell my wife, I'm the boss and you're nothing, and makes you the boss of nothing.
She's the neck of your head. Neck,
right. But the reality is that we have to understand in God's the way he's formulated authority, you will have to submit to somebody one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And ultimately to God.
Can I just submit to myself though?
Sure you can.
Give it a try.
Give it a try. You'll find yourself.
You can forgive yourself and love yourself.
Yes, yes, that's it. You'll find yourself to be an extreme taskmaster.
Some things do require other people, submission being one of them. Right.
No mission.
Yeah, if you have authority over nothing, you don't have any authority.
That's exactly that.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
Yeah, well, what are the benefits of being under authority? Wouldn't it be better to just be a rebel? Just do whatever you want, no constraints. Like, what would I gain by putting myself under someone?
I think we should hear from the chief rebel.
What are you talking about?
That title belongs to someone else in scripture.
Yeah. My goodness!
Wait, you thought it would?
You're gonna be. Wait a minute.
You thought I was talking about you?
Picking me, insulting me.
Well, he is an authority, so. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. No, yeah. That's not what we're talking about.
That's exactly wrong.
That is sarcasm. What would you say the benefits are if you were to put yourself in God's authority?
I'll just talk to you right now.
Okay. Yes. That's fine. That's fine. She's being judged over here.
Turn your back on authority.
Every woman did what was right. Hide your face. Oh, my
goodness. Hide your face from him.
Okay. This gives
her a burden for to pray for my wife.
Oh, yeah. We all have that. All
right. This is cold. I'll be back.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. What are we talking about? Benefits?
Benefits
here.
What would help someone that's like, I don't want to, what? You know, what are the benefits of being under authority?
I think, let's see here.
401k. Health benefits. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
Perks.
Okay. I think that in order to understand the benefit of being under authority, you need to understand that the Lord views authority and anointing as the same thing. Mm. Whenever he was going to authorize someone, he anoints them. Mm. And so in his economy, in God's kingdom, authority and anointing, they're inseparable. They are the mm-hmm. same thing. He will never authorize someone without anointing them with what they need to do to complete the task, which is the issuing of his power, his grace, everything that he is. Mm-hmm. So when you come under someone else's authority, you actually come under their anointing. Mm. And if you think of it that way, it should make it a lot easier for you to come under somebody else, because you will receive the benefit of the covering of the anointing that's on their life, the anointing that's on their ministry, the anointing that's on their assignment. You actually bring yourself in line to be a recipient of that also. If we're just talking about like a very, maybe it's a very selfish way to look at it, but you need to understand mm-hmm. it's actually how God designed it to work. Mm-hmm. And so the more that you're willing to come under, and the more you're willing to yield and to actually submit to come under somebody else's assignment, the greater level of anointing that's released to you mm-hmm. in that place.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And I believe that, yeah, you did good for once, right? For a woman, yes. But to me, when you say that, I just think of there's a sharing of the anointing when authority is issued, you're actually sharing something with that person. It's not you're just partitioning out. All right, you get this one little grain. No, you're actually there's a flow that happens. Actually, I've heard there's a really good school, Spirit School of Ministry, that actually trains in this on authority, mm-hmm. which is amazing. But it has to do so much, like you were saying, authority. I'm the same way. Whenever I think of authority, I think of anointing. Mm-hmm. It has to be, because all authority must come and be issued from God.
Right.
People might appropriate authority wrongly or take authority where they're not given authority, but that's a whole different thing. That's when people go off the rails. But the reality is God, he is actually in the process of sharing his glory, his authority, his anointing with us. Mm-hmm. And maybe different measures, different times, people, as we grow up in him, can handle it more. But he's sharing that with us. And he, so that we will become more like him in the process. Yeah. And that, like, when you actually think about it that way, it changes the way you approach authority in your life when you are issuing or supposed to be issuing authority to somebody in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, you're sharing, think of it, I'm sharing this with you.
Right.
It's not like, I'm the boss. It's not that at all. It's, no, I'm sharing my life with you. I'm sharing what the things that have been given to me, I'm giving to you. And this is why, Jesus here, he's here on earth, greater works than these shall you do. It's because he's sharing in what God has given him and put into his life.
It's a weird view of God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
That he shares authority and delegates authority. He doesn't just do everything himself. I thought he just controlled everything himself.
Yeah. I have no need for anything else then. Get rid of all the rest of us.
Biblically, this is how he rules, right?
Right.
Like, he actually appoints angels and men and, uh-huh. women, and women to do these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a question too of like, why do you want authority? Like, really, what is it? Why do you desire that? Is it because you desire position, recognition, like, or is it because you actually desire to empower other people to be able to promote other people and pour into them and see them great?
Yeah.
I think that there's a question that must be answered here, because it affects everything about how you approach it. If you approach authority like, I want to be the one on top, I want to be the one, I want to have a position, then you will have a really hard time coming under someone else, because your goal is not to be under someone. Your goal is to be on top. So I
have
think
control.
Yeah, I think that if your desire is, I want to be in the authority of God because I want the power and the ministry of Christ to flow unhindered, mm-hmm. then it will much more easily be able to come under someone else, because it's not about you. It's actually like you view yourself, I'm a vessel in the chain of vessels, and I want to be in position to be able to get anointing and the power of God and the ministry from this place to this place. And I'm willing to be that in between mm-hmm. link, not that it just stops at me for my significance, but because I actually want to see the power of God conducted over here.
Right. And that's, you know, I just think of Zechariah 4, where there's the two olive trees that pump the oil into the right. golden pipes that go into the seven lampstands. Mm-hmm. And that is just flowing out. Right. And it mm-hmm. says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, mm-hmm. the Lord will accomplish mm-hmm. his work in that. Did you want to throw something else in there?
No, I'm just like all on that. I love the, you know, like I said, this is one of my mm-hmm. favorite things to think about and to try to operate in.
Well, let me ask you a question on something you said before, mm-hmm. because you said sometimes people can seize authority and go off the rails that way. Mm-hmm. What happens when someone does that? Like, what, when somebody steps out of, you know, they take the authority, what happens to that person? And
I think what actually happens is kind of interesting, mm-hmm. just to, you know, kind of dovetail onto what you were saying about authority is this kind of, we have to think of ourselves like a conduit. We teach it this way. It's like a conduit from the Lord mm-hmm. To us, that the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, the authority of God, the glory of God is flowing in mm-hmm. into the earth. And I believe the cross is that intersection. It, yeah. You know, here, you know, perfect God came down. He was the only one that could do that.
The anointed,
you know,
one.
Right. He was the only one that could actually start it, but he wasn't there to, you know, he wasn't there to finish it. Yeah. His part was finished, but now the rest has to happen mm-hmm. and it's flowing from us. And so, you know, so you get this, a conduit, if you will, think of it that way, flowing from God to everyone in the earth, actually. If you start to either misappropriate, take authority that's not yours, what you actually become is a block to that authority, because it's not that pure stream coming through any longer.
Clot.
Right, clot. It's like a clot, or it's diverted mm-hmm. The way it wasn't supposed to be diverted. And we, like I said, we teach this. We teach about if it, and by the way, in some respects, you will be diverting the authority of God. But if you're doing it and you've been chosen by him to do that, put in that place of authority and issued the authority, you will actually distribute it properly throughout, you know, to many different places. So you'll, that conduit would then split, if you will, into multiple places. And that's how, actually, that's how Christianity grew, and that's how it will grow. And that's, but it has to be connected to the pure oil. It cannot be just, you know, going off doing something. I hope that answered your
question. Oh, yeah, it helps a lot. Let me put Liz on the spot with another one here, though. But so can I move in the anointing of God if I'm not under authority?
No.
But what if I'm still what if I'm still able to, like, win people to Jesus and heal people and prophesy and cast out demons and all that?
Yeah, I think you can do a lot of great things for God and not actually be operating in his authority. Mm-hmm. I believe the gifts of God are without repentance. And so I think a lot of times people misunderstand giftings and authority and giftings and anointing. They're very different things. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have to be really careful. We don't deceive ourselves that because I'm gifted, I don't have to be under authority. Mm-hmm. Because God, you can operate in giftings, actually without the Lord mm-hmm. a lot of times. But that's very different than, being a part of his kingdom authority. He actually wants to issue his kingdom authority through people who are willing to be yielded one to another. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. I, like I said, when we talk about this and teach about this, as a vessel from the Lord that is actually yielded to him and in proper, I don't know, place with him, the vessel is also anointed in the process. And I believe what happens is when people are just operating outside of that, they can do the gift. Mm-hmm. But the anointing, and I'm going to put it this way, the anointing that stays, the residue that stays, that coats that life is not, it's not there. Mm-hmm. They're just doing things. And they can do things. And by the way, you know, God, he is pretty sovereign. So he can, very sovereign, and he can like accomplish stuff.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, he can use whoever he wants to use, any way he wants to use them to bring people to himself or do something like, you know, use a gift, you know, maybe healing, maybe a prophetic word. And the person, and that's why later, hey, haven't we done all these great things? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I never knew you. In other words, I didn't flow through you like the way I wanted to and the way I wanted to anoint your life and what I wanted to leave in you. Mm-hmm. So he may use somebody like that. Unfortunately, that person's actually using God or using the gifts that God gives.
Something just took on new meaning, like where it says, and check me if I'm wrong on this. So like it says the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul.
Yes.
And it rushed on David. So basically God had just took Saul out from under the flow and plugged David into that spot. And so right now the Spirit's then rushing on him. So Saul still has a lot of his natural giftings and he can still do a lot of stuff.
Of course he can.
But in the Spirit's not departing from him in a New Testament sense, but he's outside the flow of the anointing.
He's rejected.
Yeah,
that's a very big
thing. I think too, like when the Lord told Moses, like, hey, also get everyone where they want to go. I'll send angels to help them. Like, you can accomplish things.
Yeah.
He's like, I just won't be with you.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. And that's like, we can accomplish, mm-hmm. I think you can accomplish a lot of things as a Christian that are good and that are fine. But is that the goal? Is the goal just to accomplish things? Is the goal like, hey, I'm using my gifts? Mm-hmm. Or is the goal like, I want the abiding presence of God in my life, which requires me to operate the way he has laid out, which requires me to actually yield to people that he has authorized in the earth. And that actually brings me into a place of the oil of the Holy Spirit being able to flow freely, not just through me, but in me, like to saturate everything about me. So I think that, like, again, the question is like, why do you want the authority? Is it just so you can do cool things and accomplish tasks and be noticed for your ministry? Or is it actually because you want the abiding presence of God to saturate everything that you do, whether it's noticed, whether it's seen or unseen? Like, what is your... What's your priority? Like, what is your soul longing for? Is it significance or is it him?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, and also I believe the anointing is given, the authority is given to give evidence of him, not just of stuff you do. Because there are people in the earth born with tremendous capabilities and gifts. Some of them can learn things too. Mm-hmm. And they can do a lot of spectacular things, you know, by world standards, you know. And but no anointing, and nobody sees God in that. They just see somebody doing something really great. And so they become, just like you were talking earlier, David, about, you know, Saul. I mean, he was a big, tall, handsome guy and a warrior. People still, you know, probably were either respected him or afraid of him. Mm-hmm. And probably like, so he was still big, tall, handsome guy, and he was still the king, and he could still assemble people and get them going and accomplish things and rout people, you know, enemies out, but he could do it without God.
Can I ask one more rabbit trail on this?
Yeah, let's do it.
This is like popping off in my mind. Why did God still call him, or why did David still call him the Lord's anointed after the Spirit departed from him?
Because he had been set into a position of authority by the Lord, and the Lord had not removed him from that position of of authority. The Lord had anointed him for that. And until that time was up, David has, like, it's the same thing like we're talking about, like, yeah, it's the same thing we're talking about, like, there are earthly authorities that we are supposed to honor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because God set them in place. God is the issuer of authority.
Right.
Now, whether that person's lifestyle is in agreement with the word of God or not, there are still natural authorities, civil authorities that we must honor because we honor the Lord.
And Jesus
even though they're being moved out.
And Jesus
you know,
did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and even though them. Like, you know, Saul, you know, maybe he had the Spirit of the Lord with him for a time, you know, there are people who are in civil governments now who have not operated in the Spirit of God probably ever.
Right.
And we still have a responsibility to honor them.
Right.
You know, as an authority.
Well, and also, yeah. Like I said, it's so obvious because when Jesus was on the earth, he submitted to the earthly government, like straight up. And even though it had no power over him, right, to it, the power it had over him was not a power to stop or deter him from his assignment. For what he was here for. Yes, they could kill him, right? And that was part of his assignment. And so they were working within his plan but they had no authority over him. And you could see it happening. And he submitted to him, right? He paid taxes, he just, you know, he gave, you know, he even gave honor, I believe, many times to you know. And so I think we can confuse things in there. And in that transition time where he's, you know, before he's fully rejected, if you will, Saul was in that process of being fully rejected. And I don't know in God's big plan, you know, could he have repented?
Probably.
You know, God was given time and like, yeah, and he would have been God's anointed.
Yeah, I really think that's cool. Like even, and I could speak to somebody, you could probably speak to somebody that's in a situation where they have to submit to someone, but they're not a godly authority. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, but someone else has been chosen. And why can't this person be in charge? Or, you know, why can't I be in charge or something like that? And it's like, well, you still honor that because God is moving his authority into place, but he still put in the old one. You know, and so, yeah, it's honoring him to honor that authority.
Well, Paul was very adamant about that, right? I mean, he was like, hey, slaves, be a good slave.
Right.
If you're freed, be freed.
Well, I think there's an understanding that you need to have. It's like, if God wanted you in the position of authority, he would put you there. So I think it was like
a place. Don't I have to put myself in?
You have to come to, especially in the church of understanding. We're like, hey, that person, I could do a better job than them. But, well, the bottom line is that if the Lord desires you to be in that, he will do it. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know how he does it, but he does it.
Wait a minute. You mean I can't go and get a master's in authority?
Right. Yeah.
You could use the weapons of the world.
And go get your
PhD in authority.
Grassroots support group to help convince everyone why you should be in that position.
Yeah. I'm thinking I'm liking that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
It's not working.
Okay. So
we'll leave that one there.
All right. That's good. Food for thought. I'm going to think about this stuff more. It's good. How about this? So what are the responsibilities of a person who is in a position of authority? Now, this would be like godly authority, or it could be anywhere, actually. But what do you think the responsibilities are? Have something?
I would say it's to serve those that are in your sphere of influence.
Serve them?
It's your responsibility to do whatever you can to make them thrive. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, naturally, you know, if it's looked for time like civil government or spiritual authority in the church, you have a responsibility to help them come into life, mm-hmm. fullness of life.
Okay.
I think that's,
yeah, absolutely.
You can't make them, but you can do whatever you can for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I agree with that. And I think it's so counterintuitive by the world standards that, you know, like, wait, you're serving? It's like, yeah, you're actually serving them and you're caring for their lives and you're loving them. And that's, and I actually believe that you will never really issue the authority of God if you don't love the people that you have authority. I don't want to say over, I'm with. If you don't love them, then you won't really be a conduit, like I said earlier, of the authority of God, because that's why he came. Right. So that was his purpose and his plan. Right. And so without that, you're just, you know, and so he came to serve, and we're here to serve, to care for the person's lives that, you know. And so I think it's a mindset. It's just different. If you want to just be, you know, somebody that's just the, you know, control over people, you can have control.
Yeah.
You can. You can force control over people.
Yeah, manipulate.
You're right. And but they will, and they will, they may comply with you.
Others will try to kill you.
But they won't. Yeah, they will try to kill you, probably too. They'll comply with you, but they won't for you or with you or to you, but they won't ever submit to you.
Mm. Yeah. You should, reminds me of our submission podcast with Keturah. That was, if anyone's interested more in that difference between obedience and submission, she said some good stuff on that. I like what you said about, you know, shepherding, or you said, you're an authority with them, not over them. And I just thought of the shepherd. That's the type of person that's with the flock, not like, you know, actually living life with them and stuff. So that's good. Good. How about this one? Let's say you're in authority over an organization or a situation or a baseball game as an umpire. Okay. And what are some pitfalls that exist if you are in authority over a ministry or a household or a baseball game or a classroom?
Well, if the Yankees lose, that's the biggest pitfall I can possibly think about.
No, but it's called glory when the wicked fall. But anyway, the righteous rejoice.
What's the pitfall?
What are some, like, hey, you're in authority, what do you got to watch out for?
Well, I think you know, the biggest problem is you could be changing the rules. You know, I think you're there to actually bring the, yes. I mean, God's ways, his laws, the way he's doing things. So I think you actually have responsibility to bring to it, if you're talking, you know, baseball or, you know, the game of life, you're there to bring, responsible direction that is guided by, you know, truth and guided by care and love for people. And it actually helps it, everything function well. If you don't bring that, everything goes bad quick. You know, there's a lot, people are uneasy, disturbed. It causes unrest with people because they just think that you're using them rather than caring for their lives. So I don't know if I answered your question completely.
Yeah, so I guess you could watch out for, you know, using people instead of leading them. Or one other thing you said was kind of changing the rules I'm not, because, you know, when you're put in a position of authority, you still are under authority, hopefully.
Right. These are the rules for
marching orders.
These are the rules for you, not for me.
Oh, hypocrisy.
There. That's a wonderful authority.
That's a pitfall.
That's a pitfall. Everybody must do this except me. Right. You know.
Yeah, I'll be in the green room while you guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, what about you, Liz? What do you think? What do you think are some pitfalls for these authoritarians in the world today?
I think that one of the biggest pitfalls is when people use their place of authority to validate themselves or to get value or worth. I think that that's really dangerous. I think that because then it becomes all about their need and their insecurity and needing to show that they can do it, needing to show that they, like, they're always trying to prove something. Mm-hmm. They're always trying to prove that they can do it, that they're competent, that they're valuable, that they're important, that they're significant. And I think it drives them in a really weird way that way. I mean, when it talks about Jesus, says like he knew where he was from and he knew where he was going, and that's the reason he was able to lay everything down.
Yeah.
And so there was a security in him of knowing who he was that actually enabled him to pour everything out and to serve completely without concern for himself. And I think that until we allow the Lord to heal those places in us or deal with them, we're always trying to use ministry or use position or use other people to validate ourselves. And I just think it can lead to a lot of weird lot of weird things. So I think that's one of the biggest.
I hear what you're saying also is that there's a confidence that comes with authority. That's not this weird overbearing thing. It's not like I'm the boss. You are, you know, you're not.
You don't talk to me that
way.
Yeah,
right.
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
If you have to, continually validate yourself, which is a horrible place to be in, that, you know, that means that you probably don't have an authority in your life that's validating you. I'm just going to say it that way, because that's just the. It's a hard way to live life. And it's a big pitfall, actually, because if you're having to remind everybody that you're the boss, then you're reminding yourself mostly, I think, and you're not giving the way you're supposed to.
I think also you're really resistant to getting anything from anyone else because you're trying to prove that you can, I got this, you know, and so like you're not asking for help, you're not asking for counsel, you're not asking for anything, you're just trying to, it's a very like cruel place to live within your own soul of like you're isolated, you're insecure, you're trying to show everyone how important you are. It's a very like, I don't know. And it just affects everything around you and people don't want to follow someone like that. And then they're trying to assert their authority more because no one wants to follow them. You know, it's like this very vicious place. And the solution to that is allowing getting your value from the Lord and understanding who you are in Him. And that will actually enable you to be able to pour yourself off completely without worrying about your reputation, your recognition, what you look like. Like none of that. It's a very secure, peaceful place before the Lord, actually.
Yeah. Nice.
It's good.
Anything else on that?
Yeah, I don't know, when you were saying that, I started thinking about how our body functions and that it's not like, hey, I'm the best. The hand going, hey, I'm, because if you know, it's like the heart's like, yeah.
And he never skips a beat.
Right. And then the brain goes, oh, yeah. And then the heart says to the brain, oh, yeah. So they're functioning in unison, and that's the way that anointing works, actually. That's the way the authority works. That like fees and stuff, you know, every joint supplies. There's a, you know, we're supposed to be that to each other. There's a lot of give and take in that also, because I believe just like God's authority and glory and anointing comes from Him to us, I believe that when we operate the way we're supposed to, we give glory to Him and honor to Him, and He gets represented properly, and I believe that it brings joy to His heart. And just, you know, he it's a two-way street. Mm-hmm. It's not just one way.
Yeah.
And I think He designed it that way specifically. Mm. But yeah, good. I don't know.
It's been hard sometimes. I mean, I've definitely felt that way. Like I get my validation sometimes, you know, if you do ministry full time, that's like all that is working sometimes. And you're like, you know, this is all I do well, you know, everything else isn't working that well, you know? And so then if you go through a time where God seems distant, then you really only have ministry or whatever you're in charge of, you know, in the world. And so, yeah, I just think like having endurance in that and being able to talk to people could really help someone. Cause I think, you know, we want to also just say like, how do we move through this? Like, and how do we continue on under authority? And really find our validation from God, right? And from others around us. So yeah, give me some counsel on that. How do I find my validation outside ministry? You know, like how would you tell me or somebody else that struggles with that or that struggles with their job being, that's their identity or they're a mom or whatever it may be. What would you guys say?
Well, I'm going to give you, this is going to be funny. You're going to hate me for this, but go coach your kids. Like bring that in some area and with other children too, because they will look to you as an authority. And when you actually think about it, especially now your kids are young, this is a good time to start, because then you'll be expressing God's love through them, even through frustration and wishing like, why aren't you better than this? You're only five. That's why. but there's a component of that. If you want like natural ways that, you know, because, you know, I've been in ministry a long time too, but the, I found that expression in other places. Mm-hmm. And actually it's kind of dual, because you're sometimes that expression's happening with other Christian kids, sometimes with people who don't know the Lord, and you get to actually share God with them. And so if you want to exercise some authority, that's a great place. Mm-hmm. You'll have to. I believe the best coaches are people that coaches that love their team.
Yeah,
like it's true. Like that's it has to be that, and I believe that's why the best bosses are the bosses that love their team. Mm-hmm. That you know that's the deal. So you had just asked for you know like how do I get this outside of here? That's a way, and it might be something simple. I mean, I may be just sharing something, but there's something that God's put you in a position of authority with your children, and so how you express it, that's a perfect way to express it. Because if it's just the work of just raising them, which there's a lot of that, trust me, we know, but there's also the part of being with them and issuing authority, issuing direction, the right kind of direction, validating them when they're doing well. There's things that I think that's a very natural way of doing that.
Yeah,
I think also, you know, in ministry, I think you could bring your children along or your spiritual children along and just validate them and walk with them and do ministry with them. I mean, it's just more ministry. I get that. But they're, you know, that's who we are. We minister no matter where we're at, mm-hmm. who we're with. And so, but there are avenues, there's venues, if you will, I think that you can express that. And if you want my opinion, now she's probably got a lot better
one. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out here.
Yeah, that's a good
look. Okay, remind me what you're asking.
Just like how people that have put their value in like, hey, I'm in authority in this area, like how do they get out of that, you know, like how could they refocus in practical ways, you know?
Yeah, that
makes sense.
I think that along the lines of what Pastor Bob was saying, I think sometimes we can get our value from accomplishment. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing? What am I accomplishing? And I think that one of the solutions to that is not like, what am I doing? But who am I pouring into? Who am mm-hmm. I making better? And I think that that's a much better way to approach any position of authority. Is not like, what am I supposed to do? But it's like, who am I supposed to raise up? Mm-hmm. And who am I supposed to share my life with? And who am I supposed to make great? Mm-hmm. And I think that that puts us in a much better frame of mind and perspective on why we're doing what we're doing. And I think also that you have to, for me to know that, like, because everyone wants to, like, have a feel like the Lord is pleased with them, like they're doing well. You want to feel like you're doing well mm-hmm. when you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And for me, I need to know, like, what is it actually that the Lord is asking me to do? Is it to accomplish this, this, and this? Is it to see this result? Or is he just having me do something and I'm just being obedient to what he's told me? So until I found out from him actually what my assignment is, it's really hard for me to know if I'm doing well or not.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, that's a great.
So I may be trying to measure something that he's like, I didn't tell you to do that. And I'm not asking you to do that. I actually really cared about this and you didn't even ask me, you know? So I think that it's really important to find out what his priority is, what his assignment for you is, and to know that he's really pleased with obedience. Mm. I think that aside from results, if we can know that we sought the Lord and we did our best to be obedient to him, there's a validation from him that comes that way.
Cool. Yeah. Great stuff. Yeah. Hopefully that'll help myself and people out there, you know. But yeah, let me go to this one here. So how would you respond to people who have been wounded by those in authority, especially in the church? I know we've had a podcast on this, but I think I just wanted to put it in here because I know church. People are like, that's not been this idea of authority that they're saying where people share their authority and they trust people and the glory of God comes and there's yielding. That hasn't been my experience of authority, right? So I think, you know, people have run into some other forms of authority.
Well, I would say first of all, I would say there's healing required. Mm-hmm. And then I think just on a practical note, a person that's thinking that way, you need to ask them, I would ask them like, so what is having that, carrying that hurt or whatever we want to call that being injured by authority, What has that done for you now? Like, well, how's that made you be a distributor of God's authority? And or has it just shut you down and made you like, you know, so now you're not in authority with anyone, you know, under authority, if you will. And what is just, I don't know, size up what that, you know, take, you know, take some stock. Like, what is it doing for you? Is your life so much better now because of that? And I think you'll find almost immediately, if you really start to add that up, you'll see that you're lacking. There's things missing because you've, you know, because of the pain or the hurt or whatever you want to call that thing, you've excluded yourself, taken yourself out of authority. And so there's no trust anymore. There's a lot of things that have to, that go with that. Now we're talking very generalized here because there are specific instances where, you know, people who have been in a relationship, you know, with an authoritative relationship, that's been either illegal, immoral, unethical, or against the Bible, you should probably leave that relationship. But it has to, I believe it has to meet that that criteria, not just, I don't feel like it. I don't like the way, you know, it's done. It can't be just how you feel. I think there has to be something rock solid that you're making that kind of decision on. Okay. But besides that, I mean, you know, I think just, you know, add it up. You know, have you now excluded yourself so much from authority that you have no authority to issue anymore? And you're just kind of there, you know, a little isolated and, you know, an island to yourself, and you can't issue authority. The deal with authority is it's sacrificial and it's always giving. And if you, so it's going to cost you. If you think authority is just going to like be something you just get, and you are able to just wield authority, power around, and that's authority, you have a misconception of authority. Authority is fully sacrificial. It always was when God first initiated it, and it always will be. And you have to see it for what it's worth, and you have to know that it's going to cost you. It's probably going to hurt some. Mm-hmm. And you have to go through that. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, or you're not, I'm going to just say, you're not worthy to carry authority if you're not willing to go through some of the sacrificial components or the pain. And that was a rough one. Nobody wanted to hear that. Nobody was like, I don't want to be an authority no more.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was having those thoughts earlier when you're talking about like how great it is to be under the flow and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
well, yeah, there's also probably some elements that are that are trying, you know, and that
of course there are
going to cause you to die to yourself, whether you're
yeah.
Whether you're above someone or below someone, you're all dying, you know. you're all 6 feet under, whether no matter who's over who.
Just die already. Die quietly.
Stop that yelling.
No,
killing me softly. Yeah.
Immediately what came to my mind was go read about our brother Joseph. I think that there's like I was just recounting in my mind like every authority in his life either mistreated him or abused him.
Yeah.
And there was something in him. It's just like remarkable. There was something in him where his, like the fear of the Lord was so real in his life. The awareness of God in his life was so present that even after, you know, this mistreatment and that mistreatment, wherever he was, he brought himself, he yielded all of his giftings, all of his strengths, all of his abilities to whatever the next authority was that he was brought to, because he feared the Lord. Yeah. And that was in private life and in public life. He kept himself for the Lord and he walked with this awareness of God. Mm-hmm. And because of that, despite attempt after attempt after attempt to like shut him down, count him out, the Lord fulfilled his purpose for his life.
Yeah.
And I think that that's just, there's a place of faith that we must bring ourselves to where we recognize that we walk before God. And even though, you know, father and mother didn't do right by him, older brothers didn't do right by him, masters one after the other, the Lord was faithful to him because he understood how to keep himself under the authority of God first and foremost, and he did his best to make whatever authority he was under, righteous or not, he did his best to make them successful.
Yeah.
And the Lord honored that, and he was a trustworthy man of influence because of that. So I think that there's like so much that we don't actually have the right to carry hurt from former abuse, because when the Lord brings us to somewhere new, he still asks us, will you bring to them your best? Will you bring to them everything that you have and trust me and walk before me, you know, and an awareness of me? So that's a pretty heavy challenge.
I think that's where the give and take right. is in authority. The flow is that it does flow the other way too. Or the anointing flows the other way too. And that's a perfect example with Joseph. I think, you know, wherever you're serving, serve your best.
Yeah.
Don't give it halfway. And also, you know, and he sums it up at the end, right? Hey, what you meant, you know, and matter of fact, he could have said it to everybody in his life. Right. What you meant for evil, God had different plans in mind. Mm-hmm. So his eyes and his heart were set on God. And that's where, if you're in authority or you have authority, your eyes and your heart better be set on God, so you know always where your authority comes from, like we were talking earlier, mm-hmm. or else you will like get off and just, you know, just operate out of just your sheer, you know, abilities or your little gift that you might think is so great and you do so good, and forget that God is the one. He's the one that sets up one and puts down another. He's the ultimate authority. So, yeah,
good.
I think it's so good.
Well, that's some good stuff. Do you guys have any last things you want to say to the people about authority or prayer you want to say for them or anything?
I just want to say it's worth getting your mind right on this subject.
You got to get your mind right.
You do. I think it's worth doing the hard work of, you know, dismantle what needs to be dismantled, mindsets.
Yes.
And let the Lord establish what he wants to, because it is the key to living life with him in the way that pleases him and where he can do the most with you, through you, in you, from you, that he wants to do. So sometimes I think we try to avoid subjects that seem painful or seem difficult, but I'm just saying, like, do the work on this subject in particular. Allow the Lord to renew your mind concerning it, because it will change everything. It will change everything about the way you live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say that my helpful hint to people out there is that you need to get a God perspective of what authority is, not just your own, or not just what's been made an example to you in the past. You really need to know God's heart on this, and that will set you right. You won't be, you'll be able to serve then. You'll be able to, give yourself to authority and receive authority.
Nice. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, visit SpiritSchoolOfMinistry.com.